Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
Richard Tomes is the lead chocolatier at Chocolate by Tomes. I think I speak for everybody, Richard, when I say, how does one become a chocolatier? Because I think that must be the dream job of dream jobs, at least for the first week.
Well, you can either just start your own, and as I did, and read a lot of books, do a lot of experiments and come up with a range. Or I think you can train, actually, Belgium, or I think there's an online course as well. But I basically sat down and taught myself.
Are you sick of chocolate?
No, I love chocolate. Every day I have chocolate. Please, I'll say this, but every day I have chocolate. Yes, it's very good.
You started this business in 2005. What are you doing before 2005, before you and Lorraine go decide to buy yourself a chocolate shop at the V&A waterfront?
Oh, well, I was a lawyer in the city in London, and Lorraine was in HR again in London. And we basically decided that we wanted something more. So we, I think for about 3 years, we saved like crazy. And then moved over to South Africa. Lorraine is South African. And in that process, we obviously gave up our jobs. So we had to look for something else and spotted an advert for the chocolate shop at the V&A. So we decided to buy it.
Yeah, and I mean, was it when it, the fact that it was a chocolate shop, was that the deciding factor? Because did you change it much? You certainly brought your own branding and your own identity into it.
Yeah, originally it was importing chocolates from other chocolatiers, and we certainly continued along that route. But we decided that actually what we wanted to do was introduce our own brand. And the only way we thought we could do that properly was by manufacturing our own chocolates or range of chocolates. So we began by buying in the block chocolate and then melting that down, casting our own truffles and filling them with our centers. But ultimately that went on to become, we would make our own chocolate with a conch that we have. So that everything was chocolates by Tomes. So the chocolate you're eating is chocolate that we actually made, as opposed to buying in and melting it down.
And that's, I mean, surely if you're going to do this yourself, that is the only way to do it. You need a real identity. If you're simply buying in Belgian chocolate from some Belgian chocolate mass producer, well, that's very nice. You can differentiate, I suppose, with the centers and with the blends and the flavors and the nuts that you put in. But really, how complicated was that process of learning the chocolate making? Because if it was easy, we'd all do it.
It's just a matter of reading a lot of books and understanding the chemistry behind making chocolate. Mm. So you're right, for us, the identity, the real ethos behind this was we saw all of the raw ingredients coming out of Africa, but they were being exported to Europe. And we thought to ourselves, well, this is crazy. Why are we not buying those ingredients and creating a uniquely African chocolate, which is what we were doing at the time, or what we did at the time? And so we made that decision. We said, okay, we'll now make a chocolate, but everything that we source will be from Africa. So the sugar is obviously South African. The cocoa ingredients are from West Africa. And we felt that by doing that, we created our own unique chocolate, which, as you say, is the aim of the game. We, you know, why are we buying in Belgium chocolate when we have this wonderful produce raw ingredients on our doorstep? We should be adding value here in Africa, not buying in chocolate from Europe, where the value has been added there. And that essentially was the philosophy behind why we decided to make the chocolate.
And how stable are your supply chains of raw ingredients? Because demand for your ingredients are stratospheric worldwide.
Yeah, we were lucky. We were partnered with a company called Karsten Walker, and they regularly supplied, they supply food ingredients. And so the supply chain was very strong through them. If there were delays at ports, which was beyond their control, there were other suppliers that we would use. But by and large, Karsten Walker were the suppliers that we used. They were our supplier of choice. And we have a very strong relationship with them. We always have over the last, 12, 15 years that we've been making chocolate. And they are very proficient at getting stock to us.
And just the dynamics of producing chocolate, I mean, how significant of a factory setup do you have nowadays? Do you sort of measure it in tons, in cubic meters? Yeah. What do you move?
We manufacture around 60 to 70 tons of chocolate a year. And that we have grown. When we first started, we were in a factory of about 120 square meters with three employees, and now we have, I don't know, 600-700 square meters with a factory complement of close on 30. So that's how we've grown it, and it's grown through customer engagement. So as our customer base has grown, we've also grown. We moved from the 150 square factory to a 300 square factory, and then rented the factory next door to us and broke through the walls. So that became the 600-700 square meters that we currently have. But we are going to have to move again pretty soon.
That's good news. I mean, it's a pain, but it's good news. Yes. What percentage of what you make is sold in South Africa? Because South Africa is, I think, would have a fairly small market for speciality chocolate. And as the Americans, as Mondelez has added too much sugar to Cadbury's and has made that quite hard to swallow, we've seen Lindt grow in South Africa. So there's a luxury chocolate dominance of the global brands. How do you fit into that landscape?
We sell everything in South Africa. So all of the tonnage that we produce each year, is sold within South Africa. And I have to say, the only thing that has stopped us expanding for the time being is our ability to produce chocolate. We have reached a capacity ceiling. So, and to the point where, we aren't necessarily turning away people, but we're very aware that if we accept new clients in January, February, March, come December, that might be an issue. So we have to balance that very carefully, certainly during this year. So everything is sold in South Africa. We don't have any capacity to sell elsewhere for the moment. That will change, though.
It's an astounding achievement, frankly. I mean, that's a lot of chocolate that you're moving on an annual basis. How do you do it? What are your main distribution channels that you use?
Well, we distribute ourselves. We obviously have the shop at the V&A. But the main focus is on the wholesale market, and that is into most of the top hotels, mainly in Cape Town, but beyond that, throughout South Africa. We supply a lot of other chocolatiers with our chocolate, so they in turn will cast their own truffles using our chocolate, as well as bakers, restaurants, etc.
There's a huge amount of expenditure that goes into brand development, into brand building, into brand positioning of chocolate. I mean, it's one of those categories, I think, that is very well represented. How do you chip away at that market and sort of try and drive a wedge into a very heavily traded sector and segment?
It's just consistency. You can't, as you say, you are just chipping away. There's a big chip that comes out, but most of the time you're just chipping away, and you slowly create your own little niche using the branding that you want to use, using your USP that you feel is appropriate to you. And it's a matter of just constantly reinforcing that message. Continuous marketing, social media. You can't take a break from that. You really can't. The brand, if you're not on anything, then nobody is seeing you. So be on everything. But make sure the content is good, and then back it up with a really good product.
Have you worked out which 50% of advertising works?
I find that really difficult to work out. I'm sure that there's people much cleverer than me that can say, well, you've earned this from this and, from this avenue. But no. But what we have seen is we have seen that grow year on year. So I think there's only been one year where we plateaued, but after that, it continued to grow. And that has been linked to social media. We did see a slightly more increased growth when we started to market consistently.
Yeah, consistency, I think, is absolutely key. How adventurous are you with flavorings? I mean, people, when they're with the craft beer industry started in South Africa, craft brewers were accused of trying to remake Castle Lager because it was the biggest selling beer. So people tried to emulate it. It kind of became a bit pointless. And I suppose in the chocolate world, well, you do a Turkish Delight and you do a nutty one and you do a strawberry one and an orange one and the usual flavors. How adventurous can you get? I'm not sort of thinking garlic and spinach flavored chocolate, but I mean, do you push the boat out and try new things?
Yeah, we do. Every chocolate shop has got to have those mainstays. You can't just go out on a limb with the extreme flavors. But yeah, we've combined things. We had a strawberry and a chili. We obviously have a chili. We've tried various other spice combinations, and if they have worked, we've kept them. If they haven't, we've removed them. But personally, I'm really adventurous. I'm just aware that I might be in a minority, so we tend to be very careful about what we do introduce, and we watch it very carefully. And if it's not popular, then we'll remove it quite quickly.
What's been
But
the
yeah,
best
we'll
chocolate you've
experiment.
ever made that you loved that you had to discontinue because people just didn't get your superior sense of taste and style?
Actually, it's quite a mundane one. It's a lemon truffle. I like them. Lorraine loves them, and we've tried to introduce it on about three occasions, and it just fails completely. So that's the only one that has really been quite spectacular. Other ones, the strawberry and truffle, ultimately sort of it was successful and then sort of died a death. And over the years, the combinations have been fruitful for a while and then have died, and we've just tried to replace them with something else. Some of them have stayed. Chili is still actually quite, chili by itself is still quite popular. I did think of introducing a Marmite truffle once, but I don't know how
No.
that would be received. And the other one, I thought if I could, if I was concerned about shelf life, but I was thinking of soft cheese enrobed in dark chocolate. I did try that at home. It was quite nice, but I was concerned about how long that would actually last on the shelf. So
I admire your courage. That's what I will say. I mean, I love Marmite. I love chocolate. I'm not sure about together. I love cheese. I love chocolate. I'm not so sure, but hey, you know what, Richard? You're the scientist. Will you become the scientist? Richard Tomes, lovely story. Thank you for sharing. The lead
thank you.
chocolatier at Chocolate by Tomes, ex-lawyer, ex-HR specialist, moved from the UK, start the chocolate business in South Africa. They sell between 50 and 60 tons of the stuff, expanding their factories. That'll be more jobs and be export revenue too, because all of that chocolate is sold locally.